Good morning, everyone.
It's time for Michigan Sports Talk Morning Show, broadcasting live all across the state of Michigan and Northwest Ohio. This is X's and Bros.
How are you?
Good morning. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
It's a good morning. Wake up to a brand new day.
Hello. Good morning.
Good morning, Vietnam!
Here's your host, Anthony Bellino.
Rise and shine, folks. Good Monday morning to you. It is the 8th day of April, 2024. It is total eclipse of your heart day. It is the full eclipse. The solar eclipse is going to happen today. Are you going to be in a viewing area? How much of the sun will be blocked out by the moon? Will it be the next Y2K? Do you have enough toilet paper stocked up in your house? These are all questions that need to be known. For some reason, there was like this this theory on the internet that somehow the eclipse was going to knock out like the internet. I just really don't see how that's relevant. I'm just looking for someone to explain to me as to why they believe that the moon passing in front of the sun would somehow disrupt your internet service. I don't know. If you were to tell me that the moon is going to go in front of the sun, it's going to knock the temperature down couple degrees, I could wrap my head around that theory. If you were to tell me that the moon is going to wrap around and get in front of the sun, so it's going to be a little darker, I could wrap my head around that theory. The fact that, like, a solar flare, for example, solar activity causing heat waves, that I can wrap my head around that too. I mean, we have the images that people are like, global warming, like, yes, the earth is getting warmer, but there's been a whole lot more solar activity too that has nothing to do with greenhouse gases, because the sun is so far away that we can't even fathom. So without getting to the Neil deGrasse, the NASA center, like that, a solar flare, I can absolutely wrap my head around. But to think that the moon getting in front of the sun is going to knock out the power and this is going to be the end of the world, very Y2K-ish, like the clocks weren't going to be able to read 2000. If you remember Y2K, and it was a big scare, like, oh my God, we're all going to die when the clock hits midnight. Now we're all still here 24 years later. It worked. Like, we made it through. We'll probably make it through this one as well. But yeah, I'm interested. I will be outside. I will definitely be outside at that part of the day. So I'm looking forward to seeing how much of the sun I can or cannot see. I did not buy any special glasses. In fact, I forgot my sunglasses. So, and I didn't worry about it. Didn't even bring them with me. So, screw it. You know, I don't need all that. No need for all that. And we'll see what happens. But it's not the first eclipse that we're going to see. Why do I feel like we just had one of these things? All right, what else is going on in the world of sports? We'll try to get you all caught up with all the happenings. We'll do so right now in the headlines.
Big news.
I have a little news flash.
Let's check the headlines.
No, it's real news for once.
The biggest stories of the local, regional, and national news.
This is huge news.
Huge news. Let's head on over to what took place in March Madness on Saturday. Kind of feels like the NCAA tournament took a little bit of a backseat post-Sweet 16 and Elite Eight. But the Purdue Spoilermakers 63-50 winners over DJ Burns and the NC State Wolfpack. That was interesting. NC State is out. Alabama and UConn going head-to-head. And how about clinging 18 points, 4 blocks, 86-72 winners for UConn. We get the 2-1 seeds. We get the two big men. And we get it all tonight. Gonna be a late night tonight. 9:20 tip-off over on TBS. Why is it on TBS? I don't have the slightest idea. How is that game not on CBS? I don't know, but I guess maybe I'm not supposed to understand certain things. It just sounds like a really bad business decision. In the NCAA Women's Championship, South Carolina finished up their season a perfect 38-0, winning 87-75 yesterday. Caitlin Clark set a women's basketball record. She had 18 points in the first quarter, but just was not enough. She finished with 30, so relatively quiet the rest of the game. And congratulations to South Carolina, to the Gamecocks, who finished off with a that's an incredible season, 38-0. a perfect season. I saw a stat that South Carolina right now is like 109-3 in like the last 3 years with two championships or something just absolutely ridiculous. So good for South Carolina. Great game for Iowa. I don't know how much you watched of it or if you were really even interested in it, but hey, that's what happened. And the Gamecocks, they get to lift the trophy. And I thought Dawn Staley's comments afterwards, the head coach of South Carolina, she personally thanked Caitlin Clark for elevating the status of college women's basketball, which I thought was pretty pretty cool. And Caitlin Clark said after the game, she doesn't regret anything. She's happy with her choice to go to Iowa. And yeah, we'll see. You know, we'll see what happens at the next level for all of these players. So there you have it. We've got some golf news for you. Tiger Woods is on the grounds at Augusta. He's in line to play his 26th Masters, eyeing the cut record. How about that? 26 appearances at Augusta National. The 48-year-old flew from Stuart, Florida to Augusta yesterday, spent some time at the club's practice area with his caddy. That's awesome for him. It'll be the first time that he and his new caddy have worked together at Augusta National. His former caddy helped him win his fifth green jacket in 2019. Is now working as Patrick Cantlay's full-time caddy. That's pretty interesting. Pretty interesting. Last year, he made the 36-hole cut, tied Gary Player and Fred Couples, but was forced to withdraw. If he can make the cut this year, he would make the cut for the 24th consecutive time. That would be an Augusta National record there for the Masters, so good for him. Akshay Bhatia earned a spot at the Masters by winning the Valero Texas Open yesterday. It was a pretty interesting story about him. Actually DM'd his wife and 3 years ago sent a slid in the DMs on Instagram, and he was playing in this very tournament, and she actually, you know, flew or drove out to meet him, and they've been inseparable ever since. So congratulations to him. Rory McIlroy finishing third place at 11 under par. Nelly Korda, how about Nelly? She's been fantastic. She won the T-Mobile match play, and Nelly Korda is on a roll that has been unseen in the LPGA Tour in 16 years. She won four of the first seven holes in the match play, which was awesome. And also, she's been on an absolute tear just by winning every tournament that she checks in. She's won four of her first five starts in a season. Nelly Korda, congratulations to her. Maybe that's a name that we can follow along. And that's what the LPGA needs. They need more American-born stars if that tour is going to make any noise whatsoever. Nelly Korda is maybe she's it. I don't know. Maybe she needs a caddy. I'm free this week. The Detroit Pistons lost their last two games. The Grizzlies 108-90, and then to the Nets 113-103. It's just a really, really tough series of events. The Sixers and the Bulls, along with the Mavs and the Spurs, remain the final four games for this Piston season, and then we can just get it over with, right? I mean, that's basically all we collectively are looking forward to at this point in our lives anyways. Just get it over with. The sooner it ends, the better. Big win for the Detroit Red Wings yesterday. 3-1 over the Buffalo Sabres. The Wings now move into the second wild card position. More on that coming up a little bit later. So a very necessary, very good win for them. We are getting word right now that Coach John Calipari is finalizing a deal with Arkansas. Arkansas of all teams. I don't know how this is going to work. I don't know why it works, but that's what they're doing. And the Tigers, after winning their opening day game 5-4, lose both Saturday and Sunday to the Oakland A's. They lost 4-0 on Saturday, 7-1 on Sunday. Flaherty went six innings yesterday, gave up nine hits, six earned runs, a walk, struck out five, did give up a home run through 94 total pitches. Alex Lang gave up three hits and an earned run as well. A really overall, a very bad day. Cold day for the bats, 7-33. Spencer Torkelson was 0-4. His average is at 184. Carpenter was 0-2. His average is at 227. Riley Green was 2-3 yesterday, so that's good. Bumps his average up to 188. That's a positive. Parker Meadows in the leadoff spot, 0-2, hitting .087, also known as less than ideal. Less than ideal. So, We got some text messages here. We'll take your calls. We got a lot to get to. Don't go anywhere. We'll be back with more X's and Bros after this.
Bill Simonson here for my good friend Josh Garvey. Now, he's a managing shareholder at Dorn Mayhew's Grand Rapids office. Their world headquarters are in Troy, Michigan, on the east side of the state, and they have locations all around the world. They have over 550 motivated accounting professionals, 90 years in business, and I mentioned the 10 offices worldwide. So if you want to connect and partner with one of the top CPA accounting and business firms in the world, they're right here in Michigan. Dorn Mayhew's Troy office on the east side of the state. And Josh Garvey is a managing shareholder for their Dorn Mayhew GR office. Right there by the S-curve, you'll see the new Dorn Mayhew sign. You can find out more. Just Google Dorn Mayhew. That's DoreNMayhew or Dorn.com. They're one of America's and the world's top CPA accounting and business firms. They're Dorn Mayhew.
There's a new player in town. Hi, I'm Herman Moore, Lions All-Pro wide receiver, and I'm talking about Eagle Casino and Sport, the real money mobile casino. It's so easy to play. You can go from wager to winner to wallet, just like that.
Sign up now and we'll match your deposit up to $1,500. Or you can get a risk-free bet up to $1,000.
Eagle Casino and Sports. Made in Michigan, made for Michigan.
Must be 21 or older in Michigan to play.
This is X's and Bros on the Michigan Sports Network.
Welcome back here to X's and Bros, Michigan Sports Network. Great to have you riding along with us, no matter who you are, where you are, how you may be listening. Got a fun text here. You're complaining about Torque. Green is Cade and Cade is Green. Both hurt and show up once in a while. Harris needs to start forming this team with a Green trade for a veteran in their prime. This is how the 84 started to form out because of who they were. Traded three of their top picks who were up and down players here in the big leagues. Isn't Torque more inconsistent than Riley Green? I mean, just look at the numbers. Now, look, am I complaining about... I'm just saying this is a big year for Spencer Torkelson. That's all I'm saying. It's a monstrous year. This is probably a more important year for Torque than it is for anybody else. I mean, Riley Green showed us, you know, his value to this club. I just think it's a very important year for Torque. I think he's been good defensively. But look, I mean, we lost a lot of games for a number one pick. You're going to need that number one pick to hit more than 200. It's early in the year. I don't think we need to trade anybody nine games into the season. I think that Kenta Maeda looks like a shell of himself. Definitely not the Kenta Maeda we thought we were going to get. And, you know, the pitching staff has been, you know, relatively good up until this point. You know, we're nine games in. I'm not saying trade anybody. I'm just saying this is a big year for Spencer Torkelson. That's all. That's all. Don't get twisted now early on. You know, want to be trading everybody and dealing everybody right away. I'm just saying it's a big year for Torque. I didn't say we needed to trade him. I didn't say that he's a bum. I didn't say we need to run him out of town. I didn't say anything like that. I said it was a big year. That's okay. I don't know why you're going after Riley Green, trading Riley Green nine games into the season. I don't. And who is this veteran? Who's this proven veteran? And why are we going after Scott Harris? I mean, if anything, the last GM taught us that we can't make a trade. Hopefully, if we do make a trade, Scott Harris has a little more acumen and ability to execute a trade that is worthwhile and meaningful, and that's a positive result. That would be good. That would be a huge jump over the last GM. That I did not know until after the game. I will stop trashing all my Tigers gear. That was the fact that the Tigers, the last time they won a home series against the A's was back in 2016, in April of 2016. They're 4-21 against Oakland at Comerica Park since then. That is an incredible stat. Oakland. Terry says, just a magnificent Monday morning. Played some chilly golf yesterday. The Red Wings won, are in the second wild card spot. The Tigers need to start hitting and scoring again. If not, then 77 and 85. It's two bad games. Now I gotta right the ship a little bit here. It's two bad games. That's all. Like there's it's fine. There's 162 of these things in total. They've played 9 games. That's it. 9 games. There's no reason to get worked up over anything. You've got 163 of these things left, or pardon me, 153 of these things left. Like everything's gonna be fine. Everything's going to be fine. It's all going to work itself out. You got a couple here against the Buccos, and we'll go from there. Wish we had that one guy who was an enforcer type, need Raz or Edvinson to take on that role. I don't know. I don't know if that's the I don't know if that's the role. By the way, the University of Toledo lost a good one in the head coach, Tricia Cullop. Tricia Cullop took a job with the Miami Hurricanes. That is since been official. And man alive, does that one hurt? You know, some coaches are just staples and institutions, not only at their school, but also in their community. Very rare do you have a coach that stays somewhere in the mid-major level for 14, 15, 16 years. That's exactly what Tricia Cullop did. She is a wonderful person. She was a finalist at Ohio State for that gig. Her number has been called a plethora of times. She's won a WNIT. She's made the tournament. She's won the MAC regular season. She's won the MAC tournament. Done everything you can do here. And don't cry because it's over. Smile because it happened, something like that. That is really the truth when it comes to Tricia Cullop, who will now take her talents to South Beach. Like LeBron, baby. Headed to South Beach. And, you know, some people might be like, well, what are you even talking about? I am absolutely talking about Toledo women's basketball. And we saw it happen with Bowling Green. Robin Fralick took the Michigan State job. Some want to climb the ladder and do it very quickly. Others take their time and try to find a really good spot that fits them really well. And that's a dream scenario. Now, I've seen a lot of backlash, like, oh, 300,000 isn't enough. Like, if you're trying to compare the ACC to the Mid-American Conference, I don't know what to tell you. You need your head examined because the two are not alike. And it's not a shot at anybody pointing out the obvious. Toledo is not Miami, last time I checked. And she's going to get paid really well. She's going to go on to have a great career. Like, I'm not mad at anybody for advancing their career. Like, why would you be? Maybe instead of being mad at somebody else for advancing their career, maybe you should worry about yourself. How about that? John Calipari is finalizing a 5-year deal to become the next head coach. This is actually happening. I thought this was just internet rumor. But he might be going to Arkansas. Calipari's contract is expected to have an overall base salary of just less than $8.5 million that he's making at Kentucky. However, the deal is expected to be incentive-laden with the ability to pass that number. The contract is expected to be completed within the next day. Holy mackerel. So the key relationship to help this deal come together is Calipari's longstanding ties to John H. Tyson, who is a billionaire and Arkansas benefactor. This would be huge. Eric Musselman left for USC last week. And after his departure, Arkansas's AD went after a couple of different coaches. And then Calipari, who has been under more pressure at Kentucky than at any other time, might leave in the middle of the night. Upset losses to St. Peter's and Oakland in recent years, not good in the tournament. Following the first round defeat to Oakland, there was enough speculation about Cal's job status that the AD had to confirm Cal would be returning as the head coach. Kentucky would have owed Calipari more than $33 million if it were to fire him, but the school isn't owed any money if another program takes him on. 15 seasons as the head coach. 410-123, a winning percentage of 77%. Fourth most wins, fourth best record of any D1 team in the last 15 years. Four Final Four appearances, won the 2012 national title, 6 SEC regular season titles, and 6 SEC tournament titles. 35 first-round picks in the NBA, second most by a head coach at one school in the Common Draft era, trailing only Mike Krzyzewski at Duke. How about that? Before taking over for Billy Gillespie at Kentucky in 2009, he was the head coach at Memphis for 9 seasons, led the Tigers at 2 Elite Eights, went to a national title game in 2008, where they lost to Kansas in OT, also led UMass to the Final Four in 1996 before leaving to the NBA, coaching the New Jersey Nets for 3 seasons, then went back to the college game. Think about that. Think about that success. 77% winning percentage in 15 seasons, four Final Fours, a 2012 Natty, six regular season titles, six conference tournament titles, and it's not good enough. That's crazy. So my question is, if Cal leaves for Arkansas, who takes the Kentucky job? Who wants that? Boy, that's a really interesting start. Really interesting start. My goodness. Like, where in the hiring, like the hiring cycle, like what do you do if you're Kentucky? Because you know those guys at Kentucky are going to flee. You know they're taking off. That without question, all those guys are leaving. Like, everybody is headed to greener pastures. You know, some teams have already added some pieces. Everybody else is still trying to work through the transfer portal. Man alive. Learn how to read text. I trashed Harris. I didn't say you trashed Harris. I talked about Riley Green problem last year, too, with you on the show and over text. He's always hurt. Torque hit 31 bombs last year and 100 RBI. Just tell people the facts. Yzerman didn't draft Stamkos or Hedman. Will you get off the Yzerman train, please? You gotta stop with everything. Like, why does everything go back to Steve Yzerman all the time? You gotta find a new angle. What does Yzerman and his attachment to Tampa Bay have to do with anything that's taking place? We got to step aside. John Wagner joins us on the other side on X's and Bros.
Huge here for the Michigan High School Athletic Association. You can stay up to date on the latest from Lansing 24/7 at MHSAA.com, at MHSAA on Twitter, and MHSAA on Facebook. The latest news, press releases, and stories connected to every high school in the state of Michigan, available for you 24/7 from the Michigan High School Athletic Association. Log on to MHSAA.com, at MHSAA on Twitter, and MHSAA on Facebook. And if you're looking for archive, boys and girls, high school sports, MHSAA.tv. That's MHSAA.tv. 24/7, everything you need to know about high school sports in Michigan. Log on to MHSAA.com.
We're teeing off our 10th year at the Meijer LPGA Classic for Simply Give. Get ready for the best tour yet to help neighbors in need while enjoying golf, food, and family fun. Join us June 13th through the 16th at Blythefield Country Club for fabulous food, Discoveryland for kids, and of course, elite women golfers from around the world competing to help feed our neighbors. Get your tickets now at MeijerLPGAClassic.com.
You're listening to Michigan Statewide Morning Show, X's and Bros, right here on the Michigan Sports Network.
Welcome back here to X's and Bros on the Michigan Sports and Network. Ben Glaze, Ryan Elke, Anthony Bellino, all joining you. Join us now, as he typically does, on a Monday. He covered the Detroit Tigers minor league organization for a couple of decades. Also a member of the National Football Foundation, Football Writers Association of America. He's our good buddy. His name is John Wagner. You can find him on Twitter at John Wagner Media. Johan, my good man, how are you? How's life? How are things, partner?
Anthony, I am a little slice of heaven this morning. How are you doing? You got anything to talk about?
I'm doing just fine. Life is good. Look, Red Wings with a big win yesterday, keeping the playoff hopes alive. Opening day bonanza for the Detroit Tigers, the NFL draft. You know, we're moving into the three-week range now. I mean, this place is electric around here. Opening day was electric. What happened the rest of the weekend wasn't necessarily so. How are you, my good man?
Well, and you didn't even mention the basketball mayhem over this weekend, with obviously one game to go yet tonight. But, I mean, the women.
Oh, great, great matchup. Purdue-UConn. Awesome.
What's that?
I said Purdue-UConn. Awesome matchup. We got the ones in there. Zach Edey, Klingon versus Edey is going to be a free-for-all, 2 7-footers going at it. Oh, I can't wait.
Well, and you know, Anthony, I have to admit to you, because you know my feeling, a lot of times we don't get the two best teams in the championship game. This year, in my opinion, which, you know, that and a dollar isn't even enough to get coffee at Starbucks, but my opinion, this year we have the two best teams.
Well, because they're the two best teams. That's what happens. When you're the best, you don't even make it easy. Like, you just march through people. You just thump them when you're the best. If you're a fraud that everybody's been hyping up, then yeah, you can get caught in the fray a little bit. You can get dropped in the first or second round, not make it. But when you're the best, you make it. You show up.
Well, here's the thing, though, Anthony, and I hit some people. Well, you keep using the tired North Carolina State in 83 and Arizona in, what was it, 96 or 98, whatever year they finished fifth in the Pac-12 and won the national title. I'm like, okay, you want me to be more current? Let me be more current. How about last year when UConn, and trust me, in the tournament last year, UConn rolled, if you remember. Not only did they win all six of their games, they were never really challenged. I mean, kind of like this year, up until Alabama on Saturday night, they had it pretty easy. But last year, they were the fourth place team in their league. How can you tell me that's the best team in the country? They were the best team in March. I'll grant you that, no doubt. But over the course of the season, I'm not so sure. However, that's an argument for another time. This year, it appears we have the two best teams. And, you know, I but also, Anthony, I caught your innuendo there of, you know, as opposed to frauds that are out there running around. My guess is that's a veiled reference at a team that wears Old English D's on its uniforms. Did I catch it, or am I reading something that isn't there?
You're reading something that isn't there, because I got to ask you, too. You and I, we both know an individual who on Friday, we got some breaking news Friday evening. Trisha Cullup is going to take the or has taken the Miami Hurricanes job. So she is leaving the Mid-American Conference and headed to the Sunshine State. I wanted to get your thoughts on that because I was so happy for her. Yeah, couldn't have been a nicer person, a wonderful coach, has done everything you can do at the mid-major level. Time to take on some new challenges, the ACC, you know, multiple bids going into the tournament, a chance to chase a national championship. Want to get your thoughts on that one real quick.
Trisha Cullup, in her time as the women's basketball coach at the University of Toledo, did a terrific job. I mean, that has become, it is not the flagship for mid-major basketball on the women's side. I'd love to see what steps in front of that. I mean, that their attendance, that's the part that slays me. That's the one that blows my mind. Their attendance is outrageous for a mid-major women's basketball
top program. 30 in the country annually, year over year.
She deserves the credit for that. She does. And you know, they've had good teams. She's shown she can win. So, you know, we wish her well on the way up. And if you're a Toledo fan, all you could do is thank her for what she did for that program.
Don't cry because it's over. Smile because it happened is what they say, John. Somebody says that.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's one of those where, and this is going to come off rude, and all I can say is duly noted, tell me if I'm wrong, because I know I'm right when I say this. That's kind of the world that you have chosen if you're following Mid-American Conference schools. Unless they blow up their blueprint and try and do something different to compete with the Big Ten, which would be draw in boatloads of money, spend boatloads of money on athletics, money they don't have. So this ain't happening. I mean, don't even dream this, friend. But until they do that, they're at a different level. And that's why you got to understand, if you're following a MAC team and a coach has great success, others are going to come calling and they're probably going to leave for a higher level. I mean, that's the nature of the beast.
And that's the sign of a great coach and a great program, right? I mean, at one point in football, the Mid-American Conference was, you know, they were nicknamed the cradle of coaches, John. And that's why, like, when you're really good, everybody knows this. You do as the best you can with where you're at and what you got, right? And that's what Tricia Cullup did. I mean, we saw it happen with Matt Campbell going to the Big 12. We saw it with Robin Fralick at Bowling Green going to Michigan State. Like, look, I mean, that's the path. That's what happens. Nick Saban left Toledo, went to Michigan State, and then left Michigan State to head down south.
Anthony, I got to interrupt you for a second. I don't want that error to go uncorrected.
Which one?
Nick Saban didn't leave Toledo to take the Michigan State job. He left Toledo.
Went to Cleveland.
To be a defensive coordinator, to be an assistant coach for the Browns.
That's right.
And that is, if you don't mind, I want to take the ball and run for it for a second, because in football, the MAC cradle of coaches banner, unfortunately, that's gone. We've seen several cases this year and in years past where head coaches in the MAC leave to take a assistant coaches jobs at the Power Five level. I mean, Buffalo lost its coach in that manner. I remember a few years back when Central Michigan sent Dan Enos. He took a job as an assistant. Now, you could argue he was a step ahead of the posse, and I'm not going to argue that. I'm just saying he did not leave that for a higher paying or bigger head coaching job. And that's started to become the way for MAC football coaches. I mean, if you're a Toledo football fan, you know, Jason Campbell's done a great job in Toledo. Don't misunderstand. But he's done a good enough job that you would think he would have gone to a higher level at this point. The fact that he hasn't, some may see that as a reflection of Jason Campbell. To me, watching from a distance, I look at it more as a problem that the Mid-American Conference has. You know, their coaches are not being seen as a logical hire for a Power Five school. There are exceptions. Right here in Minnesota, we have one with TJ Fleck, but you don't see a lot of MAC coaches leaving to take jobs as head coaches at Power Five conferences, as you did back in the day.
And as for Jason Candle, I mean, I thought that maybe he would be gone to Ohio State. I thought he was going to be gone to the Miami Hurricanes, Boston College, but those were all offensive coordinator positions. So kind of very, very interesting to see, you know, how things sort of play out right now in Mid-American Conference football. Now, I see your attempt at wording something I said into a dig, and I raise you one now, my good man. My Detroit Tigers, we were going to the World Series a week ago at this time, and now all of a sudden they have lost two in a row. They've lost two out of three to the Oakland A's. They were outscored in those two losses by a final tally of 11-1 to the Oakland A's, soon to be of Sacramento, and potentially 5 years from now in Las Vegas. That's a debacle for its own day. But how in God's green earth did that happen?
They play 162 of these, Anthony. And a couple of things I would note. Oakland has had its way over the Tigers in Detroit in recent years. This is not a Detroit came in with a 12-game home winning streak against Oakland and suddenly lost to. Oakland has had a lot of success in Detroit in the recent past. And that's, I'm not looking back to when Oakland was a playoff team and Detroit was not. Last year, I believe Oakland won at least two out of three, if not three out of four in Detroit. And that has been a recent phenomenon. The problem here is sample size. Okay? Sample size is two games. Too small. Way too small. In fact, I would say the concerns that you have about this team, and trust me, I have a few concerns. If you follow me on Twitter, you know right off the top what one of my concerns is for the Tigers. But the sample size is small, so I'm not looking for the panic button to go crazy and push it until you know, sirens fall, or, you know, until the whistle blows, the sirens wail, and we've got to make court corrections. So, two games. I mean, yeah, they didn't play very well. Yes, they are not hitting well at all. If I'm being honest here, Anthony, it's not that I don't have concerns about this team, but the fact that they lost 2 out of 3 to Oakland, that doesn't concern me. On a scale of 1 to 10, maybe a 3, probably a 2. It happened.
Look, I expect perfection every day of the week. All right, so we're 9 games into the season. Am I reading too much into Javi Baez not being in the lineup yesterday?
Yeah, you are. I mean, well, you know what?
A little early for rest day, John. I mean, only pitchers get more time off than NBA players.
Yeah, the true answer is no, but yes is the answer I'd give you. I mean, we've got to understand that Javi Baez is not worth the money he's getting paid right now. I mean, I know, earth-shattering. I hope you were all seated and seat-belted for that, okay? I'm telling you something you didn't realize. I get it. Uh-huh. But because of that, the Tigers have made a conscious decision that, hey, just because we're paying him boatloads of money, that doesn't mean we got to send him out there every day and play. Now, you're going to get him most days. He's going to be out there most days for a defense, if nothing else. But this is not a guy who's going to play 162. You're just hoping that he hits more than he hit, obviously, last year, and more than he has early on. So it's, my answer would be you gotta dial back the expectations for Javi Baez.
We have to dial back the expectations in general, don't we?
Offensively, I gotta be honest, that's one of my concerns. I don't see a lot of guys taking great at bats right now. Okay, and I get there's 162 games, and all it takes is, you know, a couple of guys getting it together, kicking it in gear, and away we go. My concern is this. A lot of times you'll say, by the end of the season, a guy's going to have the numbers that you see on his bubblegum card every year. And that's not wrong for veterans. There are not a lot of veterans in this lineup for Detroit. There are not a lot of veterans. There are a lot of young guys who show a bunch of talent, but they've got to prove it, and they've got to prove it again and again and again. Now, the guys that concern me right now are guys who have very small sample sizes, and the Tigers are counting on them a lot. I'll give you one example right off the bat. It's Cary Carpenter. He's a talented high ball hitter. There's no doubt. But he only has had 1 or 1.5 big years. To say that he's the staple in the middle of the lineup, honestly, is a little concerning to me. Honestly. Zach McKinstry had a great year offensively last year. You can't count on him in the middle of the lineup. I mean, hopefully, eventually, that's what he becomes. But I don't think you can count on that right now. You've got Holt Keith, obviously talented guy. I mean, I see why the Tigers gave him the money they did. But you got to understand that there's a lot on him. I would rather see him hit lower in the lineup. The problem is, how low in the lineup can you hit him? You know, right off the bat, your lineup has probably a weak hitting catcher. You have Baez or whoever your shortstop is. So right off the bat, you can't bat him lower than 7th. And, you know, depending on who your third baseman is, suddenly he's batting 6th. And, you know, if you have one other concern offensively, all of a sudden Colt Keith is in the top of your lineup. That's a dangerous offensive situation for the Tigers. So it's one of those where I hate to push the panic button because it's also, it's April. It's not even a dozen games. It's not hitting weather. Okay. Check. You're right on all counts. But the at-bats I'm seeing right now, I'm concerned is probably too strong, but I don't like what I'm seeing. How about that?
He is, what's a better way to say concerned here, John? He is,
I'm on alert.
He's on alert. Ooh, good word choice.
I'm on alert.
He's on alert. Yeah. Well, the Tigers, they're heading to Pittsburgh because they got two against the Buccos and off day Wednesday, and they'll be right back at home this coming weekend. His name is John Wagner. Find him on Twitter at John Wagner Media. Johan, my good man, as always, appreciate the time. Thank you so much for stopping by. We'll touch base next week.
That sounds like a plan. Hopefully the Tigers will be playing so well that Anthony will want World Series tickets.
Yes.
That's the hope. Hope everybody has a great week.
That's what we hope. World Series tickets, boy, that would be a lot of fun. We'll just temper our expectations for the time being. How about that? An action-packed fight card taking over Las Vegas for UFC 300. DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the UFC, is giving you the chance to get in on the action with a knockout offer for every fight fan. New customers can bet on any UFC 300 bout, turn $5 into $150 instantly in bonus bets. That's right, from the much-anticipated title match between Pereira and Hill to the exciting undercard bouts, DraftKings giving new customers a shot to rack up those bonus bets. So just download the DraftKings Sportsbook app right now. Use the promo code HUGE. Promo code H-U-G-E. New customers can bet $5 to get $150 instantly in bonus bets. Only with DraftKings Sportsbook. Only using the promo code HUGE. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus. Physically present in Michigan. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. Eligibility and deposit restrictions apply. Terms at sportsbook.draftkings.com/MMA. Hour 3 is next.
Imagine this, winning big at Soaring Eagle. The food district is now open. There's something for everyone, from Bubba Coo's burritos to Bonanno's New York Pizza Kitchen to Guy Fieri's chicken and Ike's Lovin' Sandwiches. Savor every delicious flavor at the all-new food district. Only at Soaring Eagle Casino and Resort. Your getaway. Reimagine. Visit SoaringEagleCasino.com for complete rules and details.
Huge here for my good friends from Flying Ace Whiskey. Now it's an American-made whiskey bottled right here in our great state of Michigan. And Flying Ace Whiskey has partnered with the Folds of Honor Michigan chapter to help Michigan children of men and women injured or killed in combat, and also the children of our first responders who are injured or die and making the ultimate sacrifice while serving and protecting. And there's a simple, easy way for you to donate with that money going to the Folds of Honor Michigan chapter. Look for the Flying Ace Whiskey bottle neckers on bottles all across the state of Michigan here over the next couple of weeks, and you can donate, and that money will go directly to the Folds of Honor Michigan program on behalf of Flying Ace Whiskey. And also, Flying Ace Whiskey has put up 4 scholarships for the children. Flying Ace Whiskey, an American-made whiskey, taking a lot of pride in America. Look for it in stores and pubs all across Michigan.
We're teeing off our 10th year. At the Meijer LPGA Classic for Simply Give. Get ready for the best tour yet to help neighbors in need while enjoying golf, food, and family fun. Join us June 13th through the 16th at Blythefield Country Club for fabulous food, Discoveryland for kids, and of course, elite women golfers from around the world competing to help feed our neighbors. Get your tickets now at MeijerLPGAClassic.com.